Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hey there, Herman and Corin. So we talked about my home networking issues lately over the weekend that thankfully I got resolved eventually. And, you know, whenever you speak to your ISP, you're going to get hopefully technical support, but certainly a sales pitch. The sales pitch that we get in Israel now is typically, you know, you're on this connection. Do you want a better connection? And sometimes I think they definitely try to sell you stuff that you don't need. But sometimes they actually, I feel like they're trying to nudge you towards things that do make sense. So in this case, the lady who was helping me get our new router back and up and running said, oh, you know, you could be on 2.5 gigabits per second. I spent a lot of time trying to work around DSL internet in Israel. It took years before and calling every ISP in the country before we got fiber. So my brain has a hard time grappling around the fact that, wait, there can be faster than 1 Gbps. So she insists that this faster line is available and I'd be able to get it. So I said, oh, that's great. Now, with Ethernet, of course, everything between your computer, in order to avail of a higher connection speed, everything between your computer and the and where the internet's coming in is a potential bottleneck or a speed bump, including the cables and including any switches. So I have a few of each, unfortunately. So I went looking out on the, you know, on the as to what the different Ethernet cables, the standards are, which ones can do 2.5. Cat6 is the answer to that question. And then it was which switches I had. Okay, they're gigabit, so I need to see how much a 2.5 switch costs. And what about wireless? So wireless is also something that I want to upgrade because we have a much more complicated home network than I ever anticipated having with Zigbee and smart devices. And it's a very basic TP-Link mesh system that doesn't really have very much flexibility for that kind of networking at all. So I have a whole kind of laundry list of little upgrades that I, like most things, I try to do them, you know, one at a time. So it's never a massive financial blow at once. So that's kind of what I was doing. I was planning out, I just opened a Google Doc and I said, all right, these are all the things that I need to, that I want to upgrade in our home network. And as I was doing that, I was thinking, hang on a second. I don't want to end up in the same situation as I did when I bought these 1 Gbps switches, not thinking that just a year later, there could be even faster Ethernet available. And likewise for Wi-Fi, if I go and buy a new mesh network that supports Wi-Fi 7, you don't want to find that Wi-Fi 10 is available next year. And, you know, you've got your old museum pieces in your network. So what I'm trying to ask is, I haven't been keeping up to date with the latest developments in the Wi-Fi standard from Wi-Fi 5, 6, 7. My overall philosophy is generally that some stuff is oversold, but in the context of fast internet downloads, it actually does help me because of my IoT things and my content creation. Sorry, I should say my AI things and my content creation. AI models can involve downloading 10 or 20 gigabytes easily. So a very fast internet connection is actually one of the few, or AI is one of the few cases, I think, that a really fast internet connection can actually be useful. I would say for most people watching Netflix, there's no point. And the upload speed would be helpful as well. So Herman and Corin, 2026, before I go and buy a piecemeal solution, what do you think would be a good Ethernet to buy? Should we all be buying cable category 8 out of the door at the moment? And should I be looking for a whatever comes out? I don't even know what comes past 2.5 Gbps. My brain hasn't yet grappled with even faster connection speeds. But what would you recommend as a good baseline for someone looking to upgrade their home network and not have to do this process once every couple of years? It's unsustainable and it also costs a lot of money. Thanks, Herman and Corin. Over to you.
Happy New Year, Herman. I cannot believe it is already January 5th, 2026. It feels like just yesterday we were worrying about the Y2K25 bug that never actually happened.
Happy New Year, Korn. I am Herman Poppleberry, and honestly, I am still a little disappointed that the digital apocalypse was so quiet. But you know what is not quiet? Our housemate, Daniel. He's been pacing around the living room all morning talking about fiber optics and throughput. He finally sent us a voice prompt about it because he wants to overhaul the entire house network.
Yeah, I heard him talking to the internet service provider yesterday. It sounds like they offered him a 2 and a 5 gigabit per second symmetrical line, and now he is spiraling into a deep dive of hardware specs. He is worried about future proofing. He does not want to be back in this position in 2028 or 2030.
It is a classic trap, is it not? The incremental upgrade cycle. You buy the 1 gigabit switch, then 18 months later you want 2.5. Then 5 gigabit becomes affordable, and suddenly you are staring at 10 gigabit gear, wondering where your life savings went. But Daniel specifically mentioned downloading large artificial intelligence models. That is a very real use case in 2026. These local models are getting massive.
They really are. If you are running a local 400 billion parameter model and a new weights file drops, you are looking at hundreds of gigabytes. On a standard 1 gigabit connection, you are waiting around for 20 or 30 minutes. On a 2.5 or 5 gigabit line, that becomes a coffee break. So, let us help him out. Let us talk about the physical layer first. The cables. Daniel asked if we should all be moving to Category 8 Ethernet cable heads right now. See, route of the...
Oh, I've been waiting for someone to ask me this. The short answer is no. The long answer is absolutely not, and you might actually make your network worse by trying to be too fancy. Here is the thing most people do not realize about Category 8. It was designed specifically for data centers. We are talking about short runs of maybe 30 meters or less to connect servers within a rack or between adjacent racks. It is rated for 40 gigabits per second, which sounds amazing on paper, but it is incredibly stiff.
Wait, why would it make the network worse? That seems counterintuitive. If it is rated for higher speeds, should it not just be better across the board?
You would think so, right? But Category 8 cables are almost always shielded. They use something called SFTP, which stands for Screen Foiled Twisted Pair. If you use a shielded cable, but you do not have shielded jacks and a properly grounded patch panel and switch, that shield can actually act as an antenna. It picks up electromagnetic interference from the environment and has nowhere to dump it. In a home environment with power cables, microwave ovens, and smart home hubs everywhere, you can actually end up with more packet errors than you would have with high-quality unshield.
That is fascinating. So it is like putting a lightning rod on your house, but forgetting to connect the wire to the ground. You are just inviting trouble. So if Category 8 is overkill and potentially problematic, where is the sweet spot? Daniel mentioned Category 6. Is that enough for 2.5 gigabits?
Category 6 is actually rated for 10 gigabits per second, up to about 55 meters. So for a 2.5 gigabit line, Category 6 is more than enough for almost any house in Jerusalem. However, if we are talking about future-proofing toward the end of this decade, I would point Daniel toward Category 6A.
Why the A? What does that extra letter get us?
The A stands for augmented. Category 6A is rated for 10 gigabits per second all the way up to 100 meters. More importantly, it is designed to reduce crosstalk between cables. If Daniel is pulling multiple lines through the same conduit in the wall, Category 6A is going to give him a much cleaner signal it operates at 500 megahertz, which is double the frequency of standard Category 6. It is a bit thicker and harder to bend around corners, but it is little who would trail.
Okay, so Category 6A for the walls. But what about the switches? This is where I see Daniel getting frustrated. Most of the consumer gear we see is still stuck in the 1 gigabit era, or it has one single 2.5 gigabit port and the rest are slow. If he wants a 2.5 gigabit baseline across the whole house, what does that look like in early 2026?
The market has finally shifted in the last year. We are seeing a lot of unmanaged 5-port and 8-port switches that are fully 2.5 gigabit across every port for under $100. But if Daniel really wants to future-proof, he should look for a switch that has at least 2 SP Plus ports.
SFP Plus. Remind me why that matters for a home user.
It is about flexibility. SFP Plus ports are those little rectangular slots where you can plug in different modules. You can plug in a copper module for an Ethernet cable, or you can plug in a fiber optic module. This allows you to create a 10 gigabit backbone between your main rooms. Imagine Daniel has his main router in the living room and his workstation in the office. If he connects those two rooms with a 10 gigabit fiber link using SP+, if he connects essentially a 10 amenity of bolt, it is a new word. But that not knee, I throw, hey, oh, is that this?
I like that analogy. The main artery. It reminds me of what we discussed back in episode 273 when we were looking at those lightweight Linux router alternatives. If you have the software to handle the routing, but your physical ports are the bottleneck, you are just wasting CPU cycles.
Exactly. And speaking of bottlenecks, let us talk about the AI models Daniel mentioned. He is right that this is one of the few things that actually justifies these speeds. Most people think they need fast internet for Netflix, but a 4K stream only takes about 25 megabits per second. You could run 100 4K streams on a 2.5 gigabit line and still have room to spare. But downloading a new version of a local LLM? That is a raw data dump? If it is pulling shit from...
And it is not just the download, it is the distribution. If he has a dedicated server in the basement running the models and he wants to access them from his laptop in the kitchen, that internal network speed becomes the limiting factor for how fast the model responds, especially if he is using RAG, or Retrieval Augmented Generation, where the system has to scan through large local databases of documents.
That is a great point, Korn. We often forget that the network is not just for the internet, it is for the local cloud we are all building in our homes. Daniel has his Ziggy sensors, his smart lights, and his local AI. It is becoming a very busy environment. Remember episode 263 where we talked about those DIY smart home status lights? Even those little devices add up.
They really do. It is like 1,000 tiny voices all talking at once. Let us take a quick break to hear from someone who definitely has a lot of voices in his head.
Are you worried that your neighbor is stealing your Wi-Fi through your walls? Are you tired of your Ethernet cables feeling limp and uninspired? Introducing Larry's Turbo Liquid Ethernet Grease. Just a dab of this patented neon green synthetic sludge on your RJ45 connectors will lubricate your data packets, allowing them to slide through the copper wires with up to 40% less friction. It is made from recycled lava lamps and secret government electrolytes. Warning, may cause skin irritation, blue sparks, and an inekvergliet drachitz. What a tiba dog!
Thanks, Larry. I am fairly certain that putting grease in your Ethernet ports is a great way to ensure you have 0 gigabits per second.
I am almost positive that would void every warranty Daniel has. Please, Daniel, if you are listening, do not buy the grease.
So, back to reality. We have talked about Category 6A cables and switches with SFP Plus backbones. But Daniel also mentioned Wi-Fi 7. This is the big buzzword of 2026. Is it worth the premium right now, or is it still just marketing fluff?
Wi-Fi 7 is actually a massive leap, but it is one of those things where you need the whole ecosystem to see the benefit. The headline feature is something called MLO, or multi-link operation. In older versions of Wi-Fi, your phone would connect to either the 2.4 GHz band, the 5 GHz band, or the 6 GHz band. It could switch between them, but it only used one at a time. Wi-Fi 7 allows a device to connect to multiple bands simultaneously.
So it is like having a multi-lane highway instead of a single-lane road.
Precisely. It can send data across all three bands at once. This drastically reduces latency and increases reliability. If there is interference on the 5 GHz band from a neighbor's router, the data just flows through the 6 GHz band without dropping the connection. For someone like Daniel, who is doing a lot of real-time interaction with AI, or maybe some high-end cloud gaming, that latency reduction is actually more important than the raw speed.
But he mentioned he has a basic mesh system right now. If he wants to move to Wi-Fi 7, he is looking at a pretty significant investment. those three-node mesh systems for Wi-Fi 7 are still quite expensive in early 2026.
They are, and here is the gotcha that people forget. If you buy a Wi-Fi 7 mesh system, but you connect the nodes to each other wirelessly, you are using up a huge chunk of that bandwidth just for the nodes to talk to each other. This is why we call it wireless backhaul. If Daniel really wants to future-proof, he needs to use the Category 6A cables we talked about to connect the mesh nodes back to the main switch. That is called wired backhaul.
Right, so the wireless is just for the last mile to the phone or laptop, but the heavy lifting between rooms is done by the copper. That makes total sense. It is like having a high-speed train between cities but taking a taxi to your final destination.
Exactly. If he wires the house with Category 6A, he could even stick with a high-end Wi-Fi 6E system for another year or two and still get incredible performance because the backhaul is not congested. But if he has the budget, Wi-Fi 7 is the first wireless standard that truly rivals a wired connection in terms of feel.
I want to go back to something Daniel mentioned about the ISP sales pitch. Here in Jerusalem, they are pushing these 2.5 gigabit lines hard. But I wonder about the second-order effects. If everyone on the block upgrades to 2.5 gigabits, does the ISP's actual infrastructure hold up? Or are we just paying for a bigger pipe that is empty at the source?
That is the million-dollar question, Corin. Most consumer fiber is based on something called GPON or XGS-PON. It is a shared medium. That fiber line coming into the building is shared among multiple neighbors. In the past, with 1 gigabit lines, it was rare for everyone to be maxing out their connection at the same moment. But as we move into this era of massive AI downloads and 8K video streaming, the oversubscription ratio of the ISPs, Stasnitz.
So we might see more congestion during peak hours, even if our local hardware is top-notch.
Possibly. But the good news is that XGS-PON, which is what most of the new 2.5 and 5 and 5 gigabit services use, has a total capacity of about 10 gigabits per second down and 10 gigabits up per splitter. Usually, that is shared between 32 or 64 households. In a dense city like Jerusalem, you might feel it on a Friday night when everyone is home. But honestly, for Daniel's use case of downloading AI iNate when that worked his eyed open at the track.
Let us talk about the hardware at the edge. Daniel's computer. Even if he has the 2.5 gigabit line and the Category 6A cable and the fancy switch, if his motherboard only has a 1 gigabit Ethernet port, he is stuck.
That is a very common bottleneck. Most laptops from a few years ago are capped at 1 gigabit. However, in 2026, almost every mid to high-end motherboard comes with a 2.5 gigabit port standard. If he has an older machine, he can just buy a USB-C to 2.5 gigabit Ethernet adapter for about $30. They are plug-and-play now. If he wants 10 gigabits on a desktop, he can get a PIE card for around $80. It is very spooky.
I remember that episode. We were talking about the horror of having no firewall on a home network. If Daniel is opening up his network to these higher speeds and potentially more devices, we should probably remind him that his router's CPU needs to be beefy enough to actually inspect those packets at 2.5 gigabits.
That is a crucial point. A lot of older consumer routers might have a 2.5 gigabit port, but their internal processor can only handle 1 gigabit of traffic if you turn on features like PPPoE or Deep Packet Inspection or a VPN. If he tries to run a VPN at the router level on a 2.5 gigabit line, a cheap router will just melt. Well, not literally melt, but it will throttle him down to maybe 300 megabits.
So he should look for something with a modern quad-core ARM processor, or even a dedicated x86-based router if he wants to be a real nerd about it.
Oh, you know he wants to be a real nerd about it. He is our housemate after all. I would suggest he looks at some of the newer prosumer gear that has come out in the last year. There are some great options that use the Intel N100 processors. They are tiny, low power, but they have four cores that can easily route 10 gigabits of traffic without breaking a sweat.
Okay, so let us summarize the Daniel plan for 2026. Step 1. Category 6A in the walls. Don't fall for the Category 8 trap. Step 2. A switch with at least two SFP plus ports for a 10 gigabit backbone. Step 3. Wired backhaul for his Wi-Fi nodes. Step 4. Check the ports on his actual devices and upgrade with adapters where needed.
And step 5. Don't listen to Larry.
Especially step 5. But here's a thought experiment. Imagine it is 2030. We have moved past 2.5 gigabits. Most homes have 10 gigabits. AI models are no longer downloaded. They are just streamed in real time as a utility. What does the home network look like then? Do we even have cables anymore?
I think cables will always be with us for the high-performance stuff. Physics is a tough opponent. Latency and interference are always going to be easier to manage in a copper or fiber line than through the air. But I think by 2030, we might see fiber to the room becoming a thing in high-end homes. Instead of Ethernet, you have ruggedized fiber optic lines running to every desk.
That sounds expensive and fragile.
It used to be, but the connectors are getting much better. There is a standard called hidden fiber that is basically a thin transparent thread you can glue along a baseboard. You can't even see it. It can carry 100 gigabits without any trouble. That is the ultimate future-proofing. But for Daniel, today, in January 2026, that is probably a bridge too far.
Yeah, let us keep him grounded in reality for now. He still needs to finish setting up those smart blinds he bought last month.
Oh, the ones that close every time a car drives by? Yeah, he might want to prioritize the network upgrade over the car detecting blinds.
It is all part of the journey. I think the big takeaway for our listeners is that future-proofing isn't about buying the most expensive thing on the shelf today. It is about buying the thing that has the most headroom and the fewest proprietary traps. Category 6A is that thing for cables. SP Plus is that thing for switches.
Well said, Korn, and it is also about understanding your own needs. If you aren't downloading massive datasets or doing high-end content creation, a 1 gigabit network is still perfectly fine. But for the power users, the weird prompt senders like Daniel, the world is moving fast.
It really is. I am looking forward to seeing how his setup evolves. Maybe we can do a follow-up in episode 300 to see if he actually pulled the cables, or if he just bought more of Larry's grease.
I will keep my fingers crossed for the cables.
Me too. Well, that about wraps it up for today's deep dive. Daniel, thanks for the prompt. It gave us a great excuse to talk about shielded twisted pairs, which is Herman's favorite topic after breakfast.
It is a very close second to shakshuka, I must admit.
And to everyone listening, if you are finding these deep dives helpful, or if you just enjoy hearing Herman get excited about cable frequencies, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on Spotify or your favorite podcast app. It genuinely helps other curious people find the show.
It really does. We love seeing the community grow. You can find all our past episodes, including the ones we mentioned today, at myweirdprompts.com. There is a contact form there too, if you want to send us your own weird prompts.
We are on Spotify as well, so make sure to follow us there for the latest updates. This has been My Weird Prompts, a collaboration between two brothers, a housemate with an internet obsession, and a very sketchy advertiser.
Until next time, keep asking the weird questions.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Goodbye, everyone.
And remember Category 6A, not Category 8.
Unless you live in a server rack.
Which Daniel might, if he keeps buying gear.
Fair point. Bye!
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.